together.
Hare Krishna. Of course, many of us have been together the last couple of days. We've had several programs, but once again I would like to thank Hari Vilas Prabhu and the managers here for inviting me, allowing me to come here and have your wonderful association. As we travel around America, as we travel around the world, of course we see different situations in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And I was mentioning to Hari Vilas Prabhu this afternoon that it's always a great pleasure to come to Seattle because everything's very nicely organized here. One time Prabhupada told one of our leaders, "You're a good leader because you know how to properly engage all the men." So everyone's very nicely engaged in Krishna's service here under Hari Vilas Prabhu's direction, and therefore I find everyone's very happy and making nice progress in Krishna consciousness. It's always a pleasure to come here. Great pleasure. So thank you. So today we're giving initiation to Surya Prabhu. So we'll speak from Srimad Bhagavatam and then we'll have the fire yoga. Reading from first canto, first chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, question by the sages, text number 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tvam Nasham Darshito Datra Dushtaram Nishtitirshitam Kalin Sattvam Haram Pumsham Kana Dara Ivaranam.
We think that we have met your goodness by the will of Providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Purport. The age of Kali is very dangerous for a human being. Human life is simply meant for self-realization. But due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. A list of the anomalies of this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget the need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared towards sense gratification, and if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age, and if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the representatives of the Lord, who is the captain of the ship. The ship is a message of Lord Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. Oma Gyan Timidandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Shuksunimilitam Jainatasmai Sivirame Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Visham Shapitam Jaina Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Svabhadantika Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shyadvaita Kadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. So this very beautiful verse of Srimad Bhagavatam emphatically states that the sole purpose of the human form of life is self-realization. Of course, Prabhupada has stated that self-realization culminates in understanding God and our eternal relationship with God. Not that we just understand our own deeper spiritual nature, but we understand the Lord and our eternal relationship with the Lord, and we're again situated in that loving relationship with Sri Krishna. This is the purpose of life. Everything else is secondary. If by the end of life we have not understood this fact, jivera supoya krishnara nitya das, we failed. We may have done everything, but if we don't do this one thing, it's considered a failure. Recently they had the Olympics. And I didn't watch, but I heard from various sources. You have gold medal, you have silver medal, and you have the bronze medal. And these days, no one's even satisfied to get the silver medal in the Winter Olympics. They want the gold medal. So we can draw something from that. Chanakya Pandit says a learned person can take gold even if it comes from a filthy place. He can take knowledge even if it's coming from a fool, if it's real knowledge. And he can gladly accept a girl even if she comes from a lower caste, if she has fine qualities, if she's Krishna conscious. So we're not really interested in the Olympics, but the example is interesting, that they only want the gold medal. So similarly, we should only want the topmost perfection of life. And that has nothing to do with material perfection. It doesn't even have anything to do with yogic siddhis or jnanis want to merge into the absolute truth. Devotees interested only in reviving his dormant love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we have to adjust our lives in such a way that we're making steady progress. We can't neglect the other responsibilities, of course. We have responsibilities to our own body. We can't neglect. We have responsibilities to our family members. We have responsibility to society in general, to humanity. We cannot neglect. Devotee doesn't neglect these things. But he doesn't lose sight of the goal. I'll use myself as an example. Last year I was traveling through the Heathrow Airport, which is like a city in and of itself. They've made it. It's one of the biggest airports. I think it's probably the most busy airport in the world, Heathrow Airport. So people come and they have time before their flight. So they have so many ways to keep you busy. There's, you know, bookshops, and there's gift shops, and there's little stalls, and this and that. And I came early. I like to get to the airport early just in case anything happens along the way. Murphy's Law is that whatever will go wrong, will go wrong. So traffic jams and, you know, lost tickets and misplaced passports. It's just, Prabhupada was like that. He was either right on time or a little early. I never knew him to be late. He knew how to use time in Krishna's service. I got a little early and I had some time, and I thought, I'm going to this particular temple I haven't been in a long time. I thought I'd get a few little gifts, something nice for some of my friends. So I was doing a little bit of shopping, and then I kind of got caught up in it, and then I went here and I couldn't choose this and I couldn't choose that, and they told me that they announced my name over the loud system. Mr. Tibbetts, if you don't show up in the next 5 minutes, we're going to give your seat to someone. I was just absorbed. And lo and behold, I missed my flight. I showed up and there was an empty desk and there was nobody around. I said, hey, what happened? I looked at the ticket. Oh my gosh, I missed the flight. So it was nice that I wanted to get a few little gifts. But my purpose in being in the airport was to fly out on time. So someday we have to leave this body. But said, one day we have to fly our own airplane. Moment of death, you're all alone. And we have to be prepared. We have to do our shopping in life.
to maintain our body, our families, and our social responsibilities and humanity. But in the midst of it all, we can't forget that one day we have to fly. We have to leave this body. And what will be our mentality at the moment of death? Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tiyachati anta kalevaram. The Lord states very clearly in Bhagavad Gita, whatever mentality you have at the moment of death, that will determine your next destination. Just like this evening, we're going to leave in a couple of hours, and we're not all going to go to the same place. We have different desires. So some will go to visit a friend. Some will go to a convenience store to pick up something they need for breakfast tomorrow morning. Some will go fill the petrol tank. Somebody will, whatever. We will go to different destinations based on the desires we have at the end of this program. So life is like that. At the end of life, we will go to different destinations depending on our desires. And if we at all want to go back home, back to Godhead, which is the message Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu is giving us very clearly, then we better be very serious about reawakening our dormant love for God. And our acharyas have chalked out a very nice plan for that. It's not left to our own speculation. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is authorized. There's an authorized plan. And Srila Prabhupada has made it very easy. It's already been made easy by Lord Chaitanya. Prabhupada adapted it according to time, place, and circumstance as an empowered acharya for the people of Kali Yuga for the next 10,000 years. He's made it very easy for us. The Shastras describe that this human form of life is like a valuable boat, and the spiritual master is like the captain of the ship. Reference is made here also. Captain of the ship. And the Vedic scriptures are the winds which blow that ship across the dangerous ocean of Kali. Have no doubt that this is a dangerous place. Padam padam, yat vipadam, natesham. Danger doesn't just exist in the Amazon. When we're young, we take the risks. It doesn't just exist in Siberia or Chechnya or these places. Seattle's also a very dangerous place. I was reading an article recently that said most accidents happen within 2 kilometers of home. But it's danger. We don't have to go into too much detail. I think all of you have enough practical experience. But that danger, we can take that as an impetus for becoming serious in Krishna consciousness. So we need the captain. That is the subject matter of today's verse. We need someone to direct us through the danger, out of the danger, back to the spiritual world. That is Guru. It's rare to find a bona fide spiritual master. Chanaka Pandit says that you will not find a pearl on the head of every elephant. You will not find rubies in every mountain. You will not find sandalwood trees in every forest. And you will not have the association of a genuine sadhu in every birth. It's very rare, actually. And if we come in contact with sadhus, come in contact with Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, we should consider ourselves extremely fortunate. We shouldn't take it for granted. And we should take advantage of it. And out of those association of exalted souls, Lord will arrange that we come in contact with spiritual master who accepts us as disciple. And we surrender to him and he guides us over the dangerous ocean. Kali Yuga. He directs us out of material existence into the spiritual realm where we're situated in our eternal service, the supreme personality of God. When we take initiation,
from a bona fide spiritual master. Shastras compare that to like our second birth. Like the Christians, they have that phrase, born again. But because, well, I don't want to. I shouldn't criticize. Our first birth is birth into the karba, or the womb of material nature. We have that garbhodham samskara, where the husband and wife prepare their consciousness to receive an elevated soul. That's the garbhodakshayi Vishnu, where Vishnu comes into the womb of material nature for his purposes. So we take birth into the womb of material nature, and by anyone can understand what is the nature of the womb. It's a very dark place. Bhagavatam gives a very graphic description of life within the womb. It's not very nice. And we're born into ignorance. Oma gyan timarandasya gyanangina shlakaya chaksuraminitam jenatasvaya sivirave. I who was born in the darkness of ignorance do offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master who has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. No one can deny the fact we're born into ignorance. When you come out of the womb, you're materially and spiritually ignorant. You have to learn everything all over again. Doesn't? You may have been one great personality in your previous life and whatever, but the nature of birth is it's forgetfulness. So when you're born, you have to learn everything all over again. How to talk, how to walk. It's a big thing for parents, teaching their children to talk, teaching their kids to walk. When they take their first step, the parents are elated. It's such a simple thing. We have to learn it all over again. It's a picture in the Leelamrita of Prabhupada staying at Sally Agarwal's house in East Coast, Boston. And, there's a picture of Prabhupada clapping his hands with his eyes when their little son took his first step. Just a caption there. Prabhupada was such a good guest, such a gentleman. Devotee has all good qualifications. So Prabhupada's clapping a little bridge took his first step. You have to learn everything else. This is ignorance. So we have to go to school. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. And I already forget the last part. Everything has to be learned. In fact, the first 25 years of our life, we just get an education to learn how to survive in this world, how to get by. But a human life is not meant to be lived in the conditions of cats and dogs. We have knowledge how to live a relatively good life so that we can concentrate on our Krishna consciousness. So everything has to be learned. So just as we learn everything from our well-wishers, our teachers, our parents, our teachers in school, through books, nowadays through internet, we must also learn the science of God from a teacher, from a spiritual master. So he revives our Krishna consciousness. So actually we get a second chance. We get it's called second birth. And just as the mundane father plants the seed within the womb of the mother and gives birth to the child, so the spiritual master, he activates that bhakti lata bij, that seed within the heart of his disciple by his instructions, by his training, by his inspiration, by his chastising. He gradually revives that dormant sense of Krishna consciousness. So he's like our spiritual father. And just as we're indebted to our parents in Vedic culture, the children we were discussing today, when they get up in the morning, they would come and touch the feet of their parents and bow down, being grateful for the fact that their parents have given them birth and are educating them and leading them on the path. Prabhupada dedicates the Krishna book both to his father, Gaur Mohan Day, who he said gave him the actual word he used, but the inclination towards Krishna consciousness, and his eternal father, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we're indebted to our material parents. How much more we are indebted to our spiritual father, who gives us the divine knowledge of Krishna consciousness. He gives us the greatest gift ever. He gives us the holy name. At the moment of initiation, the Guru gives us the holy name, which waters the Bhakti Lata seed, the dormant seed of Krishna consciousness. It's dormant, it's never. Just like you can go to the store and you can see so many seeds and packets. They can stay there for 10, 15, 20 years. You have to take them out and plant them in the ground in spring and water them, and lo and behold, although they've been there for 20 years, they start to grow. So similarly, the seed of Krishna consciousness is eternally there within the heart. It just doesn't come from an outside source. Spiritual Master is so kind, he teaches us the watering process. And what is the watering process? Shabda Brahma, transcendental sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. A person naive of the science of God, he may wonder, how is it so valuable? It's just three names. But Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. We understand there's no difference between the name, the fame, the form, the paraphernalia, pastimes of the Lord. Holy name is absolute, non-different than the Lord. It's very, very potent. So when we chant, we have faith. We have faith in what the Shastras tell us, that by chanting a prescribed number of rounds every day, we get the benefit. What is the benefit? Benefit is, first, that all the sinful reactions that are lying also dormant within the heart from our sinful activities of many lifetimes, they're burnt to ashes by the sound of Krishna's name. Who would not be interested? This is not the goal, of course, but there's many benefits. Prabhupada said, when you come to Krishna consciousness, you become healthy, your mind becomes peaceful, and you become spiritually pure, you become a lover of God. Krishna, by doing one thing, many things are accomplished. So when you chant Hare Krishna, these seeds of sinful reactions are burnt to ashes. What does that mean? That means it clears the path for the future. Rupa Goswami describes in Nectar of Devotion that those seeds, they fructify at different times. Some of them are fructifying right now. Some will come in 2 months, some 5 years, some 100 years, some five lifetimes from now. But what is the nature of those reactions? They cause so much distress. They manifest in the form of disease, mental agony, court cases, you name it, whatever it is, whatever difficulties you're experiencing, there's a little seeds that are popping. They have that, I don't know if they still make it, Rice Krispies, the jingle went snap, crackle, pop, or something. You could hear it when you pour the milk in. So those seeds in our heart, they manifest as all these distress. But if you chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Burnt ashes. Even more significant is that the cause of those seeds, those sinful reactions being present, is the material desires. And Shastra states that the holy name uproots those material desires as well. It's like when you come to a virgin forest and you want to live there, so you clear the field, you cut down the trees, but you also have to pull up the roots. You can't just leave them grow back. So chanting cuts down the trees, but you have to pull up the roots. And that is done also by chanting. And Haridas Thakur, he was most impressed by the fact in his conversation with the Brahmanas, you read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he thinks, you get this by Namvas, he said, some dim reflection of the holy name. You get this freedom from sinful reaction and this moksha liberation. Because liberation is defined as when one is free from all material desire. We know there's another state of existence far beyond just being free from material desire. It's spiritual awakening. It's engaging one's spiritual desires in serving Krishna. It's a far higher state of spiritual life. So he said, by chanting Hare Krishna, you get this highest goal of awakening your dormant love for God. Now, who, having heard this, would not invest the time, necessary, required time, in chanting Hare Krishna? Who wouldn't do it? This is the benefit of chanting the name of God. In fact, you can take any name of God. We're not sectarian. God has unlimited names. You can take any name which you feel comfortable with, any religion. Of course, we like to chant Hare Krishna because God himself came and chanted his own holy name 500 years ago. So best to follow in the footsteps of the Maharajans. And by chanting that particular name of God, you go to that particular destination. There's what's described as secondary names, describing the glories of God. You can chant the names of the Lord in Vaikuntha, and you'll go to Vaikuntha. But our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas have given us this name because you go to the topmost destination, Golok Vrindavan. Nartan Das Thakur says, Golok Premdan, Harinam Sankirtan. So generally it's understood the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they go to the highest destination, Goloka Vrindavan. And there in Goloka Vrindavan, Acharyas have described, there's Krishna Leela, and there's a portion of this Goloka where there's also Gauranga Leela. But that's something quite deep and esoteric. But this chanting will take us to the highest destination. So it's a very precious gift given to us by Guru at the moment of initiation. Of course, we're always chanting, or we were chanting before initiation. But Prabhupada stated in a purport in Srimad Bhagavatam that to get the highest goal of chanting, prema, you have to receive the mantra of the Guru Parampara. That is the importance of this ceremony today. Then you're blessed to chant and you can get that prema. So you have to guard it. This Ma mantra, this is our most valuable possession. If someone were to ask you, what is your most valuable possession? You don't have to think, you don't have to look very far. You just raise your bead bag like this. This is our most valuable possession. Therefore, you'll always see Vaishnavas with their bead bags because they don't want to lose track, lose touch, lose always. Any spare time, as you hear that famous little quote they took from Prabhupada from some lecture and they put it into a song. If you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. One time Prabhupada was visiting Soho Street Temple. Actually, it was Buri Place Temple. Excuse me. And he saw someone's beads for, I think, a couple of days hanging on the staircase, a little banister there. He looked, he said, whose beads are crying? So this is our saving grace, these japa beads. And nobody's very attached to this. It's our way of glorifying our beloved Lord, Sri Sri Radha Nila Madhava. The chanting itself is actually a prayer. It's more than a mechanical process of getting freed from sinful desire, freeing ourselves from material desire. It's our way of glorifying our Ishtadeva. Chanting, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we have to guard a treasure. Generally, if you have a treasure, it means it's going to attract thieves. Baba said, don't dress the deities in real gold and jewels and ornaments. The public will come and they'll see and they'll become lusty. But this we know is a very valuable jewel, this chanting Hare Krishna. But there are thieves waiting in the dark recesses of your heart to grab that treasure. What are those thieves' names? Mr. Lust, Mr. Anger, and Mr. Greed. It's not just because we're chanting Hare Krishna that we're necessarily there. There's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. So we see that although a Vaishnava may even become initiated into the chanting and be following the four rules and regulations, sometimes he may become weakened, Prabhupada said, because of past conditioning or bad association. Maya is very tricky. So a devotee, sometimes a devotee may fall from the path. We know. There's so many histories there in Srimad Bhagavatam and even in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Great stalwarts have fallen. So we have to be very careful. Prabhupada actually says that here in the purport. We have to be very careful as we advance on the path to keep good association. Take shelter of our spiritual well-wishers, our authorities. Be humble and tolerant. Trinada peace in each and all. Tora peace in each and all. Amanina, amantina, kirtaniya sara. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, considering himself more, being more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respect unto others. It's a whole science. We discuss it daily in Bhagavatam class, in Bhagavad Gita class. But to protect this valuable jewel of the holy name and the wonderful fruits that it brings forth, love of God, we have to protect it, and we do that by promising at the moment of initiation to follow the four Vedic principles. This can guard us against all that. If we're very strict in observing the rules and regulations, no meat eating, no intoxication, illicit sex and gambling, we're very strict, then that guards that our devotional life. Because these are the things which cause one, if you see how someone is, if he falls prey to these gross things, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, or the subtle things, nadhanam, nadhanam, nasundarim, kavicham, vada, kadisha, kamai, mama janmani, janmani, shure, bhavatai, bhakti, I think. Lord says, I don't want undue association with the opposite sex. I'm not interested in money. And I don't want name or fame. This is the last snare of Maya. Devotee may be successful and then begin to think that he's actually accomplished something. Everything is by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So there's many pitfalls along the way, actually. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, the road to Vrindavan is strewn with brambles, with thorns. But if we are very careful to stay, to strictly follow our Guru Maharaj, his instructions, and keep good association, and chant our prescribed number of rounds, then there's every chance that we can make it back home, back together. Sansara sarpadushtanam murchitanam kalo yugeya sadham bhagavan nama srimad vaishnava seva. We quote this verse often, but significant. That those who have been bitten by the serpent of samsara, repetition of birth and death, in the age of Kali, they shall get relief by a sadham bhagavan nama, chanting the names of God and serving the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. So here in Seattle, Washington, you have all, this formula is very nice in place here. You have nice kirtans, nice kirtaniers. We walked into a very ecstatic kirtan. And you have the very best of association. You have good leadership with Hari Vilas Prabhu. Actually, we can take it that this, everything we see here is a manifestation of his love for Srila Prabhupada. I know a time, I know Hari Vilas, before this he was preaching. When I came to France in 1971 or 72, Prabhupada asked a couple of us to go there, and we arrived to initiate the preaching. I said to my friend, preaching is going on very strong here. It's already going on very nicely, because he was there in the early days preaching Krishna consciousness. And by Lord's arrangement, he left France and he came to this outpost of Seattle. At that time, I understood there were some difficulties, but now you see, so many Vaishnavas are here, beautiful deities are being worshipped so nicely. We're just on the eve of building a beautiful temple. Just on the eve. So this is good leadership and good following. Parivalas would like to say that as well, I'm sure. You need good leadership and you need good followers. There's nothing more dynamic combination than that. We had that in the early years as well. We had the best leadership of Prabhupada, and we were young, but we were sincere and we wanted to please Prabhupada. The movement spread like wildfire. So here we see good leadership and an excellent congregation. I'm not saying this to flatter you, but very high caliber of people here. So therefore, the temple's on its way. I was told you have half the money. And maybe your loan has to be taken. But as I said the other night, if we cut our darlings, our little trip to Greece next year, or you know, the little house we want in the country, or the second car in the garage, if everyone makes the sacrifice that your leaders are making, you don't need to take a loan. Arivalas has got a business, but he's giving all the money for building the temple. He's making the biggest donation. If you could match the donation of your leader, then you could build a temple and a school. In the future, you could do so many things. So it really is a question of follow the leader. You have an excellent leader. If you follow in his footsteps and become a devotee like he is, then the temple can come up very quickly. I saw that recently in India. My godbrother, Bhakti Churu Maharaj, he was offered a very big piece of land, a very prestigious area of Ujjain. Ujjain was originally called Avantipur. It's mentioned in the Vrajabilas Stava that Mother Purnamasi left Avantipur to come to Vrindavan to serve Radha and Krishna. So Avantipur, Ujjain, is a very holy place. It was the ashram of Sandipani Muni, where Krishna and Balaram went to Gurukul. So Maharaj was offered this piece of land, mercy which comes of its own accord. He said, okay, I'll take it as Prabhupada's desire. And from nothing, just a dirt, you know, lot, a couple of lots put together, in 10 months, he built a magnificent temple. In 10 months. One man, one devotee. Because the disciple wants to express his love, to his appreciation and gratitude to his spiritual master, not just in words, but in deeds. Prabhupada was always concerned about results. He would come and how many books have been distributed, how many temples have been opened, how many devotees have been made. Because this is practical. If you love someone, you want to demonstrate your love by some action. A man wants to show a woman he loves her by doing this, and she wants to show by doing this. So what about divine love? We love our spiritual masters because they've given us this precious gift of Krishna consciousness. We're eternally indebted to them. We know what is their desire. The desire is to see the Krishna consciousness movement spread all over the world. It's no mystery what is the desire of a pure devotee. Of course, the inner recesses of his heart that we may not be able to understand. But we can know when Prabhupada was here on this earth, his love for Radha and Krishna was manifest by his strong desire to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement spread all over the world. So that disciple, he takes up a particular service according to his ability, and he produces some nice results. So Bhakti Chumraj built a beautiful marble temple. A beautiful temple. I was impressed with the taste of that temple, actually. Beautiful deities, three sets of deities, three altars, a temple, prasadam hall, two big buildings, one for the devotees, one for the guests, in 10 months. How did he do it? Oh, you can say it's so easy, he's a real famous devotee, he just called up some of his wealthy disciples. Well, someone said that to me, some rascal said, oh, anyone could have done it. I said, well, you know, when Christopher Columbus discovered America, he came back to Spain and somebody had the audacity to say, oh, anybody could have, just point your ship in the right direction, you'll bump into America. So Christopher Columbus took a couple of eggs and, you know, eggs roll over. He said, so make this egg stand up. So those envious people, they took the eggs and they rolled it. Ah, no one can do it. So he took it, he tapped the end of it and broke it and stood up. So one man said, anyone could have done that. So he said, why didn't you do it? No, it takes great spiritual purity to make achievements in this world, because we're working against, you know, the force of material energy, especially in this age, Maya. She's very powerful. So if a devotee does anything to advance the Krishna consciousness movement in the age of Kali, you have to take it. That's a miracle. People want to see miracles. So if you build a beautiful temple in Ujjain, then that's something wonderful. And here also, out of your appreciation and love for Hari Vilas Prabhu, for the leaders of our movement, for your gurus, for Śrīla Prabhupāda, for Lord Chaitanya, you should be like so eager to have this temple come up. It should be your burning desire. We have many desires. Put them to the side and make this the congregational desire, that within a certain, I think there's actually a legal ruling that within a year something has to come up like that. So the means is here. I see the means is here. Very nice congregation. So you give your hard-earned wealth. Most of you, that's what you can do. Some can preach, some can give Lakshmi, some can sow, some can do that. But what is the need of the hour, Lakshmi? It's the need of the hour, it really is. So cut your darlings and make a wonderful tribute to Śrīla Prabhupāda and Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, and build an appropriate house for your beautiful deities. They call churches, mosques, synagogues, temples, they call them houses of God. So God's house should at least be better than our house. Right? If we come to the temple, but our home is more opulent than the temple, then we have to have a little bit of istogosti here. We want to have a beautiful house, an appropriate house. Here's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His eternal consort. They should be housed in the most beautiful building. Why? Because it's appropriate. And if that beautiful building is there, you'll see how many people come. Because people need to see these things. Some beautiful temple. You know, we're adopting it to a little, it's kind of east and west. That's nice. Very beautiful. But a beautiful home for them. And then when Krishna's pleased, you'll be happy, and so many people will come to Krishna consciousness, and everything will be very nice. So, very wonderful opportunity for serving your beloved deities. Build them a beautiful house. So I'm very happy today to assist in my small way. I always come here considering myself Hari Vilas Prabhu's servant. Actually, this is the easy part. The hard part is taking, you know, conditioned souls and training them, convincing them about the futility of material life and the need to take up spiritual life. And I know, because I also used to hear from Hari Vilas Prabhu. When I came, I was a relatively young devotee. I was always mesmerized by his Bhagavad Gita classes. I loved it. Who's giving classes? Hari Vilas. Okay, great. They're so exciting and shastric and full of nice analogies and examples. So he's done the real work in training in Krishna consciousness. I'm just coming by and, you know, putting the cherry on the cake, so to speak. So any of my disciple, I can't, you know, anyone who I'm initiating in Krishna consciousness, I would like to ask them to consider and accept Hari Vilas Prabhu as a Shiksha Guru, because we need all the help that we can get in spiritual life. And whatever instructions that he gives to my disciples, consider them that they're directly coming from me, because we think a lot alike in how to spread Krishna consciousness. So I feel very, some places I go I initiate and I feel a little uncomfortable, because, you know, the situation may not be so good there and the leadership's changing. But here you've got a steady devotee, so many years, capable of giving you good direction. So I initiate someone here, I feel very comfortable. Yes, under Hari Vilas Prabhu's guidance, that devotee is definitely going to make progress. So I consider we're working together to help you all advance towards Prabhupada's lotus feet, which will take us back home, back to Godhead. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So we'll call Surya Prabhu forward and we'll ask him to take his vows. Then we'll give him his new spiritual name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
What are the rules and regulations that you promise to follow for the rest of your life?
No eating, including eggs and fish. No intoxication, 24/15. No illicit sex. No gambling.
Okay, so thank you. So we're very happy to accept you as our Dhulinishad disciple. Our duty is to connect you to our Guru Parampara, to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada means at whose feet all the masters sit. So we're all sitting in Prabhupada's lotus feet. So I will help you come closer to Srila Prabhupada and Mother Nila Madhava. And picked a very nice name. It's Ms. Sarva, so we picked a name with S. So from this day forth, your name will be Sachi Sutadas. Sachi Sutadas. Suta means the sun, so that refers to Lord Chaitanya, the son of Mother Sachi. So Sati Sutadas.